You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
On June 12th, the Minister of Trade introduced sweeping amendments to the Copyright Act that will change your digital life. Your ability to back up your DVDs, load software onto your computers, or prepare and distribute lessons in the classroom may change if the government passes C61 when Parliament resumes session this fall. Jeffrey Glass is the coordinator of the Vancouver chapter of Fair Copyright for Canada, and he joins me in the studio this morning. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me. Can you start off by describing some of the changes in our daily lives that we'll see if C61 passes?
Well, I think we'll find that many of the things that we can do with the media we have today, books, CDs, and so on, legitimate things, may not be possible anymore. For example, protected CDs, we may not be able to copy them to our MP3 players. DVDs from other regions in the world, Europe, Asia, we may not be allowed to play those anymore. We may also find, as you mentioned, that software makers can control what software we put on our computers. And educationally, one of the provisions of the bill requires that institutions that distribute course materials using copyrighted work ensure that that material is deleted 30 days after the end of the lesson. Right. Sorry, not the lesson, the course.
Right.
So we may actually find educational materials deleted, and if you're a student taking notes, they may refer to materials you no longer have.
Right. So why is the government bringing in this legislation? What are their policy objectives here?
Well, there's been a lot of pressure from the United States government, the trade representative, the ambassador, and the major media industries in the United States, particularly Hollywood and the music industry. And they've been pressuring the government for years to do this. The United States passed a similar law 10 years ago. They found it didn't work. Nevertheless, they're trying to do this here. I think the objective, or one of the results of this law in any case, will be to increase the power of those industries in Canada to the detriment of Canadian artists, consumers, and innovators.
Hmm. Now, I understand that it also outlaws peer-to-peer software. What would that mean?
Peer-to-peer software is used. I don't think it actually outlaws it.
Okay.
But it makes it illegal to share copyrighted material online, like music and movies, which.
Now, what are the consequences? You mentioned that there were some fairly onerous requirements on educators in terms of using copyrighted material. What are the consequences for teachers and schools that use copyrighted material in preparing their lessons?
Well, they have to ensure that material is under control, essentially, so that students can only print one copy, the material is deleted. So that could be quite expensive for them. It will presumably require them to place special software on students' computers to make sure that this material is deleted when it's supposed to be. It may also prevent them from accessing a lot of material that's protected by what are called digital locks. So, for example, material on DVDs, they can't access that or copy it, say to use clips in a lecture, without permission from the copyright holder. And from my reading of the Act, and I'm not a lawyer, but from my reading of the Act, a copyright holder can actually say that material is not allowed to be used for educational purposes and forgo the small amount of income that they might obtain from that.
Hmm. So how does that differ from what we have now? How are teachers able to use copyrighted materials now that would differ from that?
The difference is that this is mainly aimed at digital materials. So right now, institutions do pay royalty fees in Canada. I believe in the United States it's different. They don't have to. But in Canada, they pay royalty fees to a collection agency. I think Access Copyright is the main one. And in exchange, they can do things like make photocopies or overhead slides or play videotapes. But with digital materials, if the copyright holder or the publisher places protections on those materials, they have no access. Unless they're specifically given permission.
Now, how would what are the consequences then for teachers in school? Would there be fines involved if they weren't able to control the distribution of these materials or destroy them within 30 days or whatever those you know, fairly. I mean, I've taught before, and I know those kinds of conditions sound like they would be very difficult for a teacher in a digital environment to control.
I'm not sure. I just looked at that part of the act. I know if the blanket provision for circumventing digital locks can cost $20,000 per instance, and that's what you would do if you, say, took a clip from a DVD. But in general, I don't know. I do know that institutions take great effort to make sure they don't break the law, so I think it's more or less academic what happens if they do. They will spend what it takes to make sure they don't, and that will increase the cost of education and make it difficult to critique a lot of material.
Hmm. So that idea of fair use, if you're looking at something in order to critique it, that material is no longer available to you.
That's right.
Without onerous conditions.
That's right. Essentially, if the material is digital, the copyright holder has the ability to decide whether or not you can use the material in particular ways, to any degree of detail the technology makes possible.
So how will these amendments affect artists who might use copyrighted material as part of their art?
Well, I think this is one of the real problems, and we've actually found a lot of Canadian artists have said that they don't support this law. We have Canadian musicians. There's an association, the Canadian Music Creators Coalition, representing 200 Canadian artists, including Avril Lavigne, the Bare Naked Ladies, Smash Mouth, and they say this won't do anything for artists as far as they can see. We also have Appropriation Art, and they call this bill censorship and say it's the first time that a democratic government, has tried to outlaw an art form. The problem, again, is that they cannot access content in order to use it to make new works. So things like collage in the digital age will be outlawed, effectively, unless you get permission from the original, not from the original artist, from the copyright holder, which would be very difficult. We're talking about negotiating with places like Sony here.
It's kind of ironic to me because I think in the digital age, one of the things that people are able to do is to kind of have these mashups and to repurpose pieces and to remix things, and that's something that's become, you know, very easy in a digital context. Yet, you know, bringing these things in to, you know, really to kind of clamp down on that seems like a way to really kind of clamp down on some of the artistic potential, you know, that's represented by a digital age.
I agree completely, and I think it's really tragic. I think as a country that's concerned about our culture, it's very important that we be able to have small independent Canadian artists, musicians, and so on, experiment with new things. But most of the media in our culture is from the United States and will be controlled through media corporations that control the locks on the content. That's what this law does, is it centralizes control. And I think one of the motivations for this may be that it increases that control and tries to put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak. I think the government claims that the target is file sharers and pirates. But I think the real target may be, actually, competing artists and art forms.
Now, the government says they're doing this to crack down on piracy and counterfeiting, as you said. Is this achieved in these amendments?
Well, first, piracy and counterfeiting are two very different things. Counterfeiting is a kind of piracy. The bill treats file sharing by individual Canadians for private use and counterfeiting, which is something that's done by organized crime and is very harmful, essentially the same way. They're subject to the same penalties. Counterfeiters have great resources for copying material and distributing it, and they break the law right now. I don't think this bill will affect them significantly. File sharers, however, may be somewhat affected, although we've seen from the experience of the United States that file sharing increased after similar measures were introduced there. That is why I think that artists who cannot afford to break the law and cannot afford to be seen to break the law are potentially the most vulnerable target. If you're privately copying something, it's very unlikely that you'll be found out. But if you're an artist, you have to make your work public. That's the whole point.
Hmm. I think there was a study recently, I believe it was a StatsCan study, that showed that actually that people who did peer-to-peer sharing of music actually bought more music. So, you know, so the argument against it as a, I mean, I think the argument has been made that you're taking revenue away from the original artist. But in fact, those people kind of promote the idea of music, and people buy more music as a result of this digital music sharing.
I have seen these studies, and there have been a number of them that have found a slight increase or a correlation between file sharing and music purchasing. I think there are also, to be fair, a few studies that have found a slight decrease. But it doesn't seem as if file sharing is actually what's hurting the music industry. I think actually one of the things that's been hurting it is other media forms. Kids who spend a lot of money on music spend it on video games, DVDs, cell phones. There was actually a chocolate bar company that found they were losing money to cell phones. That's why they weren't selling so many chocolate bars. I think the same may be happening with music.
Well, hopefully people aren't eating those cell phones. So what would you say is the overall effect of the legislation on the free flow of information and the use of copyrighted material?
To the extent that it's effective, and as I said, I don't think it will be perfectly effective, but to the extent that it's effective, it gives perfect control to copyright owners and also promotes the centralization of ownership of copyrighted materials. I wanted to make a point about that. When copyright is stronger, it actually encourages consolidation because artists, say you are working for Sony or you're working for Disney, you don't have to worry about copyright law when you're building upon something else that's owned by Sony or Disney. But if you're an independent, anything you need to do working with existing materials, you need to negotiate. So I think it clamps down on culture and centralizes it in a system that is not always as creative or innovative as we would like. It also, as you mentioned, we have amateurs and individuals producing a lot of work now. I think this is valuable in and of itself. I think it's a way of forming community and relationships between people, and I think it's very healthy. It's also the future of our creative industries and our artists and so on. This is where they will come from. And these people may be locked out.
Hmm. Yeah, I hadn't heard that articulated before, but that's a very interesting point that you make about the centralization of copyright. So you're making, in all of these discussions that you're having, you're making quite a different distinction between the artistic producer of copyrighted materials and the holder of copyright.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think most of the media that we consume is owned by large media corporations, and often they make very poor deals with artists. We've heard for years that musicians make very little money in most cases from their record deals. I remember there was a band, TLC, in the 90s, and they were a top 10 hit, and they were taking home about $50,000 a year each. So you can imagine what your average artist might be making.
What sort of actions are people taking against C-61?
We have, I've been concerned about this for years, but I'm quite surprised at the outpouring of opposition. We have chapters of, and I say chapters, but we're not a formal organization, we're just concerned citizens, springing up across the country. We have a Facebook group on the internet that has 87,000 members. We've had, I believe, thousands of letters and emails sent to the government, and we have artists groups, Consumer Electronics Association, telecommunication companies who have responded also negatively, saying that they don't think that this is good for Canada.
What's the best kind of ways for people to get involved if they're concerned about C-61 and want to do something, want to make their voice heard?
Contact your Member of Parliament. That's the first thing you should do. Preferably write them a paper letter. It's much more effective than an email. And right now is a perfect time for trying to set up meetings with them in person because they're planning what to do in the fall. And the other parties have realized this is an issue. Several NDP candidates have said they will make this an election issue in their riding. The Liberal critic is actually planning to go across the country and have town halls on this issue. And even Conservative members, I believe Ed Fast and Langley, is it Langley? Abbotsford, he has said that he is interested in hearing from people on this topic. So now is the time to talk to MPs. Beyond that, we in Vancouver have a website, www.faircopy.ca. It gives some overview of how this could affect you. And If you go to wiki.faircopy.ca, we've actually been organizing meetings and coordinating with other groups.
Great. So there's probably a link on your website to that, but wiki would be wiki.faircopy. for those not familiar, well, that's as in Wikipedia, I guess. Right. Yeah. But that's excellent. Thank you very much for joining us this morning and telling us about that, Jeff.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Jeffrey Glass of Fair Copyright for Canada about the proposed changes to the Copyright Act in C-61.